So welcome to the Birth Justice Podcast. Today we're joined by Dr. Emily Queenan of Penetanguishene, Ontario, Canada. Thanks for talking with me today.
Excellent. It's wonderful to be here.
I wanted to start with, you used to work in the States before you lived in Canada. How did you get started with your private practice and how has that evolved?
Well, I have a full spectrum practice in Rochester, New York, where I also did my family medicine training from 2009 until 2013. But I became burnt out by the injustice of the American healthcare system. So I decided to move both my professional life and then, of course, my personal life. My husband and three kids came along to Northern Ontario. So I now live 2 hours north of Toronto and in a town called, and have a practice in a town called Penetanguishene. And I have a very similar practice here as I did back in Rochester. That is cradle to grave primary care. That means from birth until death. And in fact, I have a particular interest in both birth and death with a maternity practice in low risk obstetrics delivering at our local hospital, and also an interest in palliative care and have a significant palliative care practice, but also certainly practice full spectrum family medicine for everything in between, from well child care and well woman care to chronic disease management to acute concerns.
What was kind of the tipping point that made you make the move to Canada? Was it kind of something that built up over time, or was it a specific incident?
It built up over time. It's the just ludicrous hoops and truthfully just an injustice that Americans suffer from in the healthcare system that's ruled by private health insurers, where decisions are made behind closed doors. A place where I had to go through multiple steps of mother may I in order to order an indicated advanced imaging, like an MRI for a patient of mine. Or when a patient had to transfer their family doctor because I was suddenly no longer in their health insurer's roster of physicians when they changed jobs, to difficulties in getting paid. I would deliver standard well child care and then have to fight to get paid because suddenly the insurer would decide that, in fact, though I had verified the patient's insurance on the day of the visit, that in fact that had been a mistake and they never should have been insured. So in fact, I was on the hook for collecting the money from patients who often didn't have it. And it was exhausting in a way that is characteristic of burnout, kind of a giving up of the good and things. And it was just taking away too much from the good. And I had been involved in Physicians for National Health Program since I was a resident and had continued to stay active in the conversation. And at one point, the tipping point was actually after I had made the decision to close my practice and thought that I would do something related, but something slightly else for a few years, perhaps look for a job on a university campus and do university health, perhaps look at urgent care. And I thought that would be kind of a few year holding pattern until things in my head, the word phrase I used was settled out. This was in the midst of the turbulence of the passage of the Affordable Care Act, or otherwise known as Obamacare. And I went to a meeting of folks with the Physicians for National Health Program, and that's where I had some good conversations, really helped me to understand that the arc of history is long and that these changes towards an equitable healthcare system would be many, many years, more likely decades in the making. And then right after that, I called into a virtual national town hall meeting through the AAFT, or the American Academy of Family Physicians. And that's where, in that meeting, I learned that I was not alone. In fact, throughout the country, people were feeling, family physicians were feeling very, very similar to as I was experiencing. I was feeling the burnout of fighting the private health insurers of the United States. And so I turned to my husband and literally said, so what about Canada? And he said, sure. And because we talked about Canada only half jokingly every time a Bush was elected, truth be told. And and this time it really seemed to make more practical sense. And our kids were at a good age for moving. And my husband had become a stay-at-home dad with the passage of the Affordable Care Act, because our health insurance was no longer tied to his work and we could buy it on the open exchange. And so we were pretty transportable. As a family doc, I can really go anywhere and set up a shingle, obviously with the appropriate credentialing and licensing processes, but essentially go anywhere my services are needed. So I registered with Health Force Ontario and 15 months later settled here in Penetang Machine.
Did you experience any specific injustices in terms of maternal health care that you could speak to?
Oh, gosh. I experienced my own injustice. So this is really about maternal child health care. And it's minor compared to what many, many, many people go through. But I spent about a year fighting with my health insurance company to have my third child's brief NICU stay covered by insurance. They wanted me to pay it out of pocket for reasons that I don't remember and were purely technical and administrative, had nothing to do with actually what the insurance paid for. And we just had, and it was a really stupid way of spending energy in your child's first year of life to try to get paid for the, paid back for the care that he received in the first few days of life. But certainly more commonly on for my patients, because I shared practice space with a midwife who attended home birth in Rochester, New York in the first a couple years of my practice, I came to know a number of families who saw her and then ended up coming to me for family medicine care. And it's just ludicrous the hoops that women need to go through. And I'm sure this podcast, and I'm sure you're well familiar with that, that women need to go through for the coverage of home birth. And the adjective I tend to think about is ludicrous. Like, that's what drives me so batty, is there is just no good reason other than greed, other than insurance companies not wanting to pay for necessary medical care, because any payout they make is a medical loss, is hurts their bottom line. So they're only in the business of not paying for medical care. And so I would have, patients who, there, people took different approaches. Some actually went and lobbied our local legislators' offices while they're 8 months pregnant, saying, I don't know what I'm going to do because I am planning to have a home birth and my insurer won't pay. As comparison to here, where midwives are just integrated into our system, 100% covered by the National Health Insurance Program. It allows them to also, that supports them also to be integrated into our care system. So that, while the midwives, where I practiced in Rochester, would, if they had to transfer to hospital, they weren't allowed to follow their patients in hospital. And truthfully, sometimes their patients were treated as if they'd had no care up until that moment, even though they had their professional midwife accompanying them. While here, our midwives, that is part and parcel of their practice, is that decision regarding delivery location. And that could be home or hospital, or in many communities, a birth center. And the same midwife is with them throughout. So it's really that injustice is is really driven by financial, by monetary considerations of our private health insurance system in the state.
You can listen to part two of this conversation online at mediasanctuary.org.